Welcome to The James Rice Show, a humorous, entertaining, and sometimes thought-provoking look at teaching and studying abroad. Join the conversation as James guides you through his experiences and provides insights into how to improve your English and how to improve your teaching of English. And now, here's the man you've been waiting for, James Rice.
Welcome, class, to the James Rice Show. We have a busy week for you this week. We have a cool teacher talk. We're going to discuss homophones. Don't know what they are? Well, keep listening as we have the creator of Homophone Weekly coming up. A really cool way to learn new words and understand homophones. Plus, we have the idiom of the week. We're going to be talking about time. Time keeps on ticking, ticking, ticking into the future. Yeah, we have a new segment called Did You Know? And I'm going to discuss the UK's navel gazing, wondering why international students don't want to travel there anymore. And what did a student tweet that got over 130,000 retweets? All coming up on The James Rice Show. Hello, my class, and thanks for joining us this week. So many things to discuss. Remember last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, I talked about Kenya and Nigeria being huge new markets for schools. Well, China's Confucius Institute is going to invest $20 million, $20 million into teaching Chinese in Kenya. Yeah, promoting the Chinese language and culture in Kenya. Kenya is moving up, folks. Yeah. And the big news this week is the 130,000 retweets of a student's message on Twitter. And that message is, let me read it to you, stop forcing students to present in front of the class and give them a choice not to. Stop forcing students to present in front of the class and give them a choice not to. Now, this is from a young teen, not sure of the age, but clearly high school, maybe 15, 16. And she says on Twitter that she suffers from an anxiety disorder, Essentially, that means she is scared to speak in public, which to me as an educator is totally fine. I get it. But since posting this tweet, there have been many articles, and according to the teen, there's been a lot of hate towards her. Yeah, which is a bit scary. A couple of days since posting that tweet, she posted another tweet, and it reads, "It's been a few days since I tweeted this thread, and somehow I'm still getting so much hate on this tweet. Keep in mind that anxiety is different for everyone. Some people's anxiety can be improved by facing their fears, and for others, it makes it worse. Please keep that in mind." So I want to take a deeper look into this because it is very, very important to teachers and very, very important to students, this conversation that we're going to have very briefly here at the beginning of the James Rice Show. First, if you take a look at this girl's Twitter account, she clearly has no issues communicating, all right? She is not afraid to say her mind, and obviously she can't say it speaking in front of a group of people, but she can say it on Twitter. She is very direct. She is not shy, and, you know, she has a deep fear of public speaking. But on Twitter, she's a star, and hey, you know what? The USA elected a Twitter president, you know, who communicates very well through his tweets. And this girl also is very good at sharing her feelings on Twitter. So what I want to talk to you about is kind of the outdated desire of having students stand up in front of the class to give a speech. Yes, outdated. All right. Now, this is kind of an old way to communicate, and the youth get it. This is not how people in their teens communicate, and they are looking for other ways to communicate. Now, I know some teachers will disagree, and I'm not totally dismissing the presentation in front of the class, but it should be one choice, not the only choice. And this is where, you know, technology and mobile devices in the classroom can be so valuable. We can give students the option of how they want to present information now. And one option is, of course, a presentation in front of the class, or it could be a group presentation. Another option is, hey, video. Yeah, make a video, okay? I overcame my shyness through the use of video, you know? I was not shy to make a video. I didn't like necessarily speaking in front of people. I don't think a lot of people like speaking in front of people. But I was not shy to make a video because I could watch it, I could correct it, I could edit it, and I could do it again and again until it was perfect in my mind. And then I could present it. So why not make a video? Do we have to have a presentation in front of the class? You could also make a video just with a voiceover. You don't have to show your face or the student's face. The student face, you don't have to appear on the video. It's not necessary that you appear on the video, right? They could make the video or the picture using the app called Spark Video by Adobe, you know, the Spark Video app, which is great. You can record your voice without showing your face. Or how about creating a podcast or a webinar or even artwork? You know, if the student is so inclined and it can match up, they could maybe design or draw something that expresses their feelings. For this student, she's a Twitter expert. You know, why not do something on Twitter? Have a Twitter chat. This is where teachers need to stop, step out of those traditional ways of thinking and look at how teens are communicating nowadays. And they don't necessarily want to follow the traditions of the past. And we should not be forcing them to do that unless they want to. Okay, yes, public speaking is a skill, and you can have a class on public speaking. Sure, students can join it. You can have a club on public speaking as well. It's a valuable skill, absolutely. But not everyone wants that skill or needs that skill or even likes that skill. Just like I am not a big fan of Twitter. I don't like it. I like it. I mean, it's a great technology. I'm not gonna say it's bad, but I don't use it. You know, I don't have the skill necessary for Twitter to take something that I want to say and put it into, 140 characters, or they increased it a little bit. I recognize that she has a Twitter skill, and looking through her Twitter account, she has that skill and she can communicate very well with it. But I don't want to be forced to use Twitter. But I would love to learn how she uses Twitter. And just like she doesn't want to be forced to speak in public. So teachers and students, you know, we often talk to teachers there saying, teachers, you have to do this. But students, you are equally responsible here. You know, you can present an idea to your teacher. You could say, hey, teacher, look at, I would like to do this presentation as a video, which I have done in the past when I was in school. Or I would like to make a podcast about this. Or I would like to do a webinar about this. Or I would like to do something on Twitter and have a Twitter chat. Teachers love those ideas, students. So don't be afraid to approach your teacher with those ideas as well. But we need to kind of rethink this whole presentation in front of the class stuff. There are better ways out there. And sometimes teachers grade students based on how good their presentation is and not necessarily the content of that presentation or what they're presenting. I want all of my students to make great presentations in whatever they do. So I try to help them with their presentation skills. But I'm looking at the content that they produced. So there are better ways out there, and we can offer many, 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 many options now to students. So when you're giving them an assignment, why not tell them, these are your options. And if you have another option idea, let me know. Maybe it's something on Snapchat. Again, something I'm not familiar with in terms of Snapchat, but maybe they are. And they could do a Facebook Live video. Sure, that would be cool too. So there's a lot of different ways. And if you wanted to make it a formal presentation, there's a lot of different ways to do that as well. So I am definitely on the side of this young lady, and I think she's doing an amazing job on Twitter, and nobody's talking about that out there, that her Twitter account and her communication style through Twitter is very unique, and you can see her personality through Twitter, and you can get a sense of what she's feeling. Whether you agree, disagree on what she's saying, that's another question, but she is communicating. You know, she's communicating through the Twitter account. Okay, whew. All right. I'm glad I got that off my chest. It's been bothering me all week, and I wanted to share that with you guys this week. So let's check out our top listener countries there, Stephanie. Stephanie is a producer here. We're broadcasting from Toronto, Canada. And Stephanie, what do we got for our top listeners? All right. Our number one country remains Mexico. Yeah, we're still popular there in Mexico. Thank you, Mexicanas. That is 2 weeks in a row. Yeah, great job. Great job for Mexico. Brazil, number two, closing in on Mexico. Very close. USA, number three. Canada, number four. And Japan coming in at number five. Now, don't forget to visit www.thejamesriceshow.com for more information on each episode. I love to hear teachers who are using this podcast in their class, especially the next segment, which is the idiom of the week.
The Study It textbooks are the first ever completely digital and interactive English as a Second Language textbook series. Once downloaded, these textbooks do not require a Wi-Fi connection. Students and teachers can use them anywhere, anytime. Used in over 40 schools, universities, and NGOs worldwide. Study It is the future of English teaching. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
It's time for James's Idiom of the Week.
This week we are going to be studying time idioms. Yeah, time flies when you are having fun. Yeah, and you have fun listening to the James Rice Show, right? All right, this week we're going to look at 10 idioms using time. All right, first one, beat the clock. Beat the clock. Yeah, and this means that you finish something before the time is up or before a deadline. So you beat the clock. For example, she was late to the exam, but beat the clock and finished it 15 minutes early. Well done. Yeah. Next one. It's high time. It's high time. Now, the meaning of this one is that it's the right time to do something, or, you know, it's past kind of the appropriate time to do something. So it's high time. It's a right time to do something. So it's high time he met with his boss to solve this issue. That's the example sentence. It's high time he met with his boss to solve this issue. Good. All right. Number three, very common one. We often hear this one. Third time's a charm. Third time's a charm. Yeah. Meaning that the third time you do something, it will finally probably work. Yeah. So I had to ask her out three times before she said yes. You know, third time's a charm. All right. Next one. Number four. Better late than never. Better late than never. All right. I use this one all the time. Better late than never. And that means doing something late is better than not doing it at all. Yeah. So it's as long as you get it done, it's better late than never. And I often heard this example sentence when I was a student. Well, hello, James. Better late than never, huh? Class started an hour ago. Yes, I was late sometimes for class. And, you know, better late than never. Hey, I'm here at class. I got here. Next one. In the long run. In the long run. All right. And this one means that over a long period of time. So a long time. All right. So, for example, I hate doing math, but I know in the long run, this will help me. All right. Next one, in the nick of time, in the nick of time. And this means kind of like at the last possible moment in the nick of time, just before it's too late. All right? An example sentence, because this is an important one, because this is a tricky one, in the nick of time. I made it to work in the nick of time, just before the boss arrived. Whew. Yeah, in the nick of time. So I made it just before the boss. So he didn't know I was late. So in the nick of time. Next one. Around the clock. Around the clock. And this means for 24 hours, doing something without stopping for 24 hours. Often, its stores are open for 24 hours, 24-hour stores. So it's open around the clock. So, for example, you might say, oh, man, I'm really hungry. Do you know if there's a McDonald's open around the clock? You know, or 24-hour McDonald's, right? Next one, call it a day. Call it a day. All right, and that means to finish working on something, and you know, or a day's work has been completed. So you might say, hey, it's 5 o'clock. Let's call it a day. Or if you work in Japan, it might be midnight. And let's call it a day at midnight, because Japanese people work really long hours. Next one, not born yesterday. Not born yesterday. So we often use it with wasn't. So I wasn't born yesterday. That's an expression that means that someone is not easily fooled. You cannot fool someone. You cannot trick someone easily. Okay? All right? So you an example sentence. Look at the example sentence. This might help you. You can't expect me to believe that the windows broke itself. I wasn't born yesterday. You were playing baseball and you hit the window. All right? That's what happened. So the easy way to remember is that, you know, someone's trying to trick or someone's trying to lie to you, and you catch them in that trick or you catch them in that lie. All right? And the last one, make up for lost time. Make up for lost time. And that means to catch up to someone that you haven't seen for a very long period of time. And you're very happy to meet them and you haven't seen them. So you run into them maybe, and you meet them and you want to make up for lost time. So you might say like, oh my God, I ran into Stephanie last night and we had to make up for lost time. So we talked all night. And making up for lost time is something that you do. It's very intense. So it could be an very old best friend, could be an old boyfriend or an old girlfriend, someone you haven't seen for a very long time. And so you really want to talk to them about it. All right? So, my students, let's call it a day. And I hope you listen to the James Rice Show around the clock. But I wasn't born yesterday. I know you guys are busy. And that is the idiom of the week.
Don't forget to follow James on Instagram at Connect with James for fun photos and updates on future episodes. Now it's time for Teacher Talk, James's thoughts and insights into teaching international students.
We are pleased to welcome Mr. Bruce Warden from a really cool Facebook page called Homophones Weekly. Welcome, Bruce.
Oh, hi, thanks.
Yeah, so Bruce, let's start. For the students, what is a homophone?
Well, so homophones are words, two or more different words that have a different meaning, but they sound the same when you speak them, but they're spelled differently. So words like bear, B-E-A-R, and bear, B-A-R-E, would be homophones.
Right, totally different. Bear being the animal, and other bear meaning naked, no clothes.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
So tell us about the Facebook page.
Well, so the Facebook page is one prong of my attack on the internet. Homophones Weekly is a blog over at Blogspot. So it's Homophones Weekly at Blogspot. No, sorry. homophonesweekly.blogspot.com. And the Facebook page just sort of reposts everything that I've posted over there. Because social media is sort of an easier way of you know, getting the word out and attracting people in a more visual way. The blog is where all the content is, and then the Facebook page just kind of reiterates it and pretties it up. And
it's very cool. Students, yeah, and teachers, if you haven't been on the Facebook page or the blog, it's very cool because it is very visual. And do you, yeah, draw the homophone drawings?
That I do. I do all the drawings. I've got I keep a list of homophones in a spreadsheet. Like every time I come across one that I hadn't thought of before, I'll add it in there and then try to pick out the ones that I think I can figure out how to do a drawing for and tackle it.
Yeah. So you draw two or sometimes three or however many,
yep,
there are, drawings. And so it's very visual. Too bad we're not a video podcast here because we could show.
Right. It, yeah. It would make a lot more sense.
Yeah. It's really cool to see. So it is, you'll, my students, teachers out there, you guys are going to see on our episode page where you can log in and I'll have a link to that. It's very cool. Now, why did you decide to start, you know, a homophone weekly page blog?
Yeah.
I mean, right. You know, Bruce, it's a cool idea, but I got to say, it's really, you know, it's kind of out there.
It's out there, huh? Well, you know, so like you said, it's very visual, and that was exactly why I wanted to do it. Because I mean, I'm an illustrator. That's my job. That's what I do, and that's how I think, and that's how I learn, and I think that's how a lot of people learn. You know, and so I don't know. I didn't want to just be like some old guy shouting at the world every time he sees a typo in the newspaper. So I thought, well, you know, what I can do about that is approach grammar from a different perspective, you know, from a visual perspective. And I don't know, just take this one class of words that, you know, you see these things spelled wrong a lot.
Yeah.
Everywhere, you know.
Yeah, that's
and it's because they don't get caught by spell check software, you know, because they're too real words, and so they don't get caught by the spell checker, and so they'll slip through into the final publication. And so these are the ones I was seeing frequently, and I thought, you know, why don't I just make a page where, you know, if you want to learn about it, you can come learn about it. If you just want to come laugh at it, you can come laugh at it. Whatever you want to bring to it, I'll just draw pictures to help try to clarify, you know, which words are which. Which and which, that's another good one.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you go through life looking at similar words.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And people are always pointing them out to me.
Your brain is kind of wired now to that, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny. I mean, it's fascinating because we deal with English as a second language learner and mm-hmm. And teachers as well. That's who we mostly broadcast to. And you know, it's wonderful to see some of that visual usage out there, and it's, yeah, you know, it's right there out on the internet. What, you know, you've been posting a lot of the different homophones. What have been kind of the popular ones that you've created and maybe people have commented on?
Yeah. I, you know, so I actually went back into the blog today to see like what the most viewed entry, yeah, was, and it surprised me. It was one I did with the words red and red,
yes,
and read all kind of in, oh, one,
yeah,
in one post, you know, and that had more views than anything else, but I don't think anyone had ever really mentioned that one to me before. It's just got a lot of traction.
I can see it. Yeah. So what were the drawings?
Well, for the color red, it was just a big red square. Right. So your people are going to see these drawings eventually, but right now we've got to just describe them. It's, yeah, it's just two squares side by side, and then in each square, it's got the word spelled out, and then a real simplified black and white drawing, almost like a safety warning label sort of style drawing above that to, yeah, explain.
Very word. Simple. Yeah.
Yeah. So for the color red, it was actually, there's no drawing. It's just the square is just red.
Right.
And then it has the word red. And then for the past tense of read, you know, read, like I read the newspaper, it's got someone sitting there drinking a cup of tea. And I think they had, this one was a little tricky, right? So
yeah,
read is spelled the same as red. So yeah, the one where they're reading the paper, they're their teacup is on the table and they're reading the newspaper. And then the one where it's red in the past, they've got the newspaper sort of tipped down and they're taking a drink of their tea as if they have finished. They read the papers in the past. And then read, R-E-E-D, is just like the plant and the little, like the read.
Yeah. And teachers, it's amazing. I mean, it's so visual. I mean, students will get it. Students will.
I hope so. Yeah.
And I mean, obviously it's a popular one, but I mean, it's popular because it is a tough one to explain. Reading.
It is
the difference.
And it's so much easier to just look at the pictures.
Look at the picture.
Than for me to even explain it.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Exactly. Now, have you had any experience teaching yourself?
No, not like this. No. No. I've taught some art courses, drawing classes and things,
but no language courses.
Nothing like that. No.
And I mean, you're an illustrator by profession, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But why language? I mean, what's the connection?
Why language?
Oh, yeah.
What a question. I don't know. We all use it, right? So I do a lot of scientific illustration. That's my main type of illustration that I do. And I like to think when I'm doing, trust me, I'm going to answer your question, but it's going to take the long route to get.
Okay. All right.
When I'm doing scientific illustration, the thing I'm really trying to do is take a concept and tell its story very simply and very clearly visually. So, really complicated cellular processes or biological processes and things that would be really tough to explain in words can be a lot more easily understood if you just sort of draw it out. And I guess I just sort of feel like you can do the same thing with language, or at least I could with this portion of language. I mean, I don't know that you could do this same type of project with other types of words. I thought about doing it with, so homographs, right, are words that are spelled the same. Which one's homograph? Spelled the same and pronounced the same, but they have a different meaning, like duck and duck.
Right.
Like duck, there's a duck. I mean, I guess you could probably do drawings to explain those too, but it felt a little cumbersome. And it just seemed like, I don't know, it just worked. It just was, I could approach homophones the same way that I already think about illustration for other concepts. It just clicked in the way that I work, I guess.
Now you are going to transfer this into book form. I mean, that's
right.
Big, exciting news.
Yeah. That's the new news. Yeah, yeah. Chronicle Books, fell in love with it just like you did. And, made me a better offer.
My offer's free. Yeah. It's not.
Yeah, so they're kind of going through them all right now, and we're trying to come up with a new title because Homophones Weekly worked really well for a weekly blog. It's spelled weekly, like W-E-A-K, week, sort of self-deprecating, like I was doing a really weak
job. Right, sure, yeah. No, it's very funny, yeah.
But so for a weekly blog, it made sense, but for a book, it probably doesn't make sense to call it weekly anymore. So we're kind of going around and around trying to come up with a better title.
And how many homophones have you created? Do you have an idea?
I did almost 300.
Wow, 300.
Not quite 300, but there's nearly 300 posts, and they won't all go in the book either. We're really trying to take the best of the best, so I think it's going to be closer to 100.
When will the book be coming out?
It should be next fall.
Next fall. Okay.
Yeah, so I don't have a more exact date than that right now.
All right. Well, I'm sure you're gonna shoot me a message and let me know when it's available, because
yeah, no doubt.
Teachers, you guys, you really need this book. It is
so amazing. Yeah.
And if you can get onto his blog and onto the Facebook page, you can see some of the work he's done. Because it's really, I was really blown away by it. As an English teacher, it was just really cool way to explain the vocabulary and the differences between them. It's a lot of fun.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
All right. It was nice talking with you, Bruce. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, it was very nice talking to you too.
Have you downloaded the Study It ESL textbooks yet for your classroom? The Study It textbooks are the first ever digital and interactive textbooks. Once downloaded, Wi-Fi is no longer required. Each book contains video and audio exercises, detailed grammar keynotes, reading and writing assignments, and amazing speaking projects. Grammar, conversation, pronunciation, business English, and listening textbooks are available. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
So the UK is having some major discussions right now about international students called the All-Party Parliamentary Group for International Students, APPGIS. Sounds really formal. As we reported here, the UK has dropped to third place as the preferred destination for international students, and the UK wants to find out why. Well, hey, guys, you just need to listen to the James Rice Show to find out why. It is not that difficult to understand. International students want a work permit. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, they want to go to places that offer a work permit. And most governments around the world that attract international students are offering the post-secondary work permit. So when a student finishes their college or university, they are given a chance to work, all right, and live and immigrate into that country where they went to school. And, you know, the UK needs to get on board with this. And get that moving and offer a stronger work permit opportunity and immigration opportunity for students. Now, the politicians are saying things like, well, we need to change the message that we are more welcoming for international students. We should start with a campaign like we are Global Britain. Okay, guys, a new marketing campaign is not going to change students' perception of the UK. The UK is well loved. Okay, but if students can't work, they're not going to go to the UK. It doesn't matter how great your campaign is. Why? Because they can work in other countries like Canada here. All right. And of course, the politicians are also thinking about the money that international students bring into the country. Well, you know, duh. You think, yeah, they bring a lot of money into the country. You know, and another politician said, hey, we're losing skilled workers here in Great Britain. Yeah, you think. You are. You will. If they don't have a work permit, they're going to go to another country that will allow them to work and immigrate. Okay? So, let me say this clearly. International students want a chance to work and live in the UK. Short-term working holiday programs are fantastic for international students who don't want to live in your country but want to have an experience in your country. And post-secondary work permits for 3 years is pretty much a must nowadays if you want to compete in the international student market system. So, governments, listen very clearly. International students want a chance to work. Vacation, travel, and study is still out there, but that market is decreasing. Students with pockets of cash are not coming to your countries anymore. Okay, that's just not happening. Students want a chance to work and gain work experience while they're living abroad. So you need to make that work visa a reality, and then, UK, you can attract more international students. Welcome to our Did You Know section of the James Rice Show. In this section, we try to answer the questions, why is English so crazy? Like, why is there no ham in hamburger? Or why do we have a nose that runs, but our feet smells? Yes, English is crazy. Today, we are going to look at the expression, break the ice, break the ice. Now, break the ice means to kind of start a new friendship. Yeah, starting a new friendship. So where did this phrase come from, break the ice? Well, it started in the 1580s. Yeah, like 500 years ago. And it referred to breaking up the ice, real ice, on the water so that ships that are traveling can make it from one country to the other, usually for trading of goods. So ships would often get stuck in the ice during the winter. So the country that was welcoming the ships would send other small ships to break the ice, and that would make way for the ships. And that was considered very, very friendly. And of course, now we talk about breaking the ice when we meet new people. And now you know.
Have you subscribed to James's newsletter? When you subscribe, you will receive a free Study It ESL textbook. Visit www.thejamesriceshow.com for more information and join today.
All right. What did you think of that new Did You Know section? That's pretty cool. So we're doing a little research on Did You Know. So we'll bring you some new updates on that. I want to give a quick hello to me mum. She is in the hospital with a broken hip. So my friends, if you guys know and remember my mom, she often welcomed international students to her home to give them a tour up in Schaumburg. That's my hometown, not Toronto. But she's in the hospital with a broken hip, and she's doing really well, doing very, very well. And hopefully she will get out soon and get back on the move. Certainly she is a good talker, as I am, and that part of her body is still working very, very well. Also, this week, it was TIFF, the Toronto Film Festival, kind of wrapped up. And, you know, as you guys know, I am a big movie buff, and I enjoyed the red carpet, and I met some great people from A Star Is Born. Bradley Cooper, who was the director and actor, and the guy from Hangover, you know, the cool, good-looking guy who was the teacher who collected money from the students to use in Vegas. He was there, and he was awesome. He was really great. He took selfies and signed autographs with everyone. I mean, everyone. Every person who had a phone, he took a selfie with. He was really amazing. And, of course, Lady Gaga was there. She was doing her Gaga performance. And I think there's some stuff on the Facebook page you can see of Gaga. And you know who I met there was Sam Elliott. And we actually did a little interview with Sam. And I'd love to play it for you and may get it. But, you know, the audio quality with the people screaming, it wasn't as good as I had hoped. But I asked Sam what he thought of the movie. And he said that Bradley Cooper really sang well. And he sang well with Lady Gaga as well as Lady Gaga. So that means as well as means equal to Lady Gaga, which is, you know, pretty amazing. Of course, Bradley Cooper's a great actor, but I don't know about his singing. So that was that's one film that came out of the festival that got a lot of buzz and good reviews. And the other one was called First Man. First Man, starring Ryan Gosling, also Canadian. And he was in La La Land, if you remember, the film with Emma Stone. And the one that was awarded the Best Picture, but then they took it away. La La Land. But he was here in Toronto, and the film also got very, very good reviews. And that movie was about Neil Armstrong, and he was the first man on the moon. So the first man to walk on the moon. And I actually have met the second man, which is Buzz Aldrin, who's also in the film. I met him in Toronto, and Buzz is an interesting character, and he has an interesting story around the landing on the moon. That essentially NASA wanted Buzz to be the first man to walk on the moon, not Neil Armstrong, but Buzz, because Neil Armstrong was very, very shy and a very, very shy personality. But Buzz is very outgoing, and he's a very good talker and very good with the media. So the NASA bigwigs wanted Buzz to be the first man because he would be able to speak more and speak better in many respects than Neil Armstrong, whom we haven't heard a whole lot about Neil Armstrong. But Neil was the better pilot. And as they were practicing, it became clear that, and I don't know if this is in the movie or not, I don't know, because I haven't seen the movie, but as they were practicing to land on the moon, it was clear that Neil was the best man for the job in terms of piloting. And that meant if he was the pilot, that he would have to get out of the ship first to walk on the moon. And that is essentially why Neil Armstrong was the first man. So I don't know if they'll talk about that, but that's what Buzz had told us here in Toronto when I had met Buzz Aldrin. So those two movies, Star is Born and First Man, will probably be big, big Oscar contenders and for the Best Picture of the Year award. So check them out if you get a chance. All right, guys. So we're coming to the end of the James Rice Show. And as always, thank you very much for your support, for listening. And remember, be crazy.
Thanks for listening to the James Rice Show. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter and send us your questions or comments at www.thejamesriceshow.com.